You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off the show with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It's been a very interesting day of market movements, especially on the resources front. And I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, Nick Kunz, to take a look at the market movements, try and make sense of them and see what it all means. Good evening, Nick. Lovely to speak to you as always. Resources surprising us today in a market that doesn't really know where to go.
Evening, Jimmy. Evening to the listeners. Yeah, spot on. I mean, it's been almost treading a little bit of water the last few days. Not quite sure where we are. We kicked off US earnings season almost exactly a week ago. So a lot of that news flow coming through and trying to make sense of it all. The financials on one side, and as you said, a decent day for commodities with a little bit of a weaker dollar. So we managed to squeeze out almost 0.5% gain for the oil share today on this Wednesday.
Nick, when we look at the global picture, obviously there's a couple of things that are still up in the air and things are going to get even messier as we head closer towards that election. Was there anything that stood out for you in today's movements? I mean, I looked at Asian markets. They were kind of a mixed bag. The FTSE was up 1% in European trade. US markets also not really doing much. It seems as though markets are definitely taking a bit of a wait and see approach to things. And we've got data coming out this week. We've got inflationary data coming out of the EU and all of that. But it doesn't seem as though the markets are too reactive.
No, but I think the big story for us today, or certainly those who watch the markets, was the news out yesterday from ASML. They are the one of the largest players in the chip space. They make all the sort of the machines that make the semiconductors. And in fact, at one point, it was Europe's biggest company. It's listed in Amsterdam. That stock was down 19%. In fact, I think it was its biggest drop ever. So that sets a bit of a negative tone in the tech sector. And you've got that on the one side. And then the other side, you've got US bank earnings, which have been coming out sort of fast and furious since Friday. And so far, they've been pretty good. So you've had for the likes of Morgan Stanley, absolutely one of the biggest US banks after JP Morgan, they're up 7.5%. So you've got a real gain, maybe just adding to, as you said, adding to a little bit of the confusion, a little bit of the sort of the tug and the pull on both sides of it and trying to get sense of it.
Nick, when we look forward to what could potentially come out, I mean, obviously the inflation numbers that we just spoke about are going to come out in drips and drabs. We are in US earnings season. It might be the last one, well, certainly the last one before the presidential election, but it might also be the last kind of real update before the end of the year. How are we seeing kind of just the tail end of the year shape up?
Yeah, so I mean, let's stick with the central bank story, Jimmy. So tomorrow you've got the European Central Bank, the ECB. So they make decisions on direction of interest rates for the euro sort of block. That's out tomorrow. So maybe they'll give us a bit of an early tease on what central banks are thinking. And as you said, Mr. Powell meeting with the Fed in November, the same month that the elections are taking place. I can't see they're going to do anything too surprising. And don't forget, maybe they sort of front-loaded their decision by doing that sort of jumbo 50 basis point cut when most were looking for a quarter. So maybe playing into the idea that, you know, there's not much they can do in November. And I must tell you, besides the sort of the headline news, you know, the sort of I don't know, the juicy stories coming out of Mr. Trump and Kamala Harris, I almost feel like the world is sort of sitting back and letting them get on with it, because normally it would be far more news flow moving these things at the moment.
Well, to be fair, we have been through a lot over the last couple of years. I think we are due for a bit of a break.
Battle-hardened, yes.
Nick, let's look at some of the local developments. We saw resource counters doing exceptionally well, but I had a look at that, and platinum finally back above $1,000 again. It's been teetering around that level. PGM's feeling a bit better at the moment. It looks as though the likes of Harmony and the gold counters as well feeling a little more optimistic around where we stand at the moment. Are we still kind of bullish on the mining sector at the moment? Can we finally say that we potentially have seen a bottoming out of the sector? It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, Jimmy. You know, it's difficult to call the tops, difficult to call the bottoms. Normally, you need a little bit of, you need the catalyst, especially at the bottom. You know, they're very much driven by what the spot prices do. And as of recent, as China has become South Africa's biggest trading partner, so influential with all that stuff that we dig out the ground and send over to China. So certainly a couple of weeks ago, with the the sort of the decent stimulus story coming out, and China's Ministry of Finance, obviously just on the weekend when they held that press conference, coming out with some more, a little bit shortened details, I must say, and a lot of promises. But that should add a little bit of sort of a bounce to that commodity basket. And then, of course, we need the weaker dollar, Jimmy. If we get this dollar to weaken or continue to weaken, maybe a little bit of a not as big a cut tomorrow, or certainly a more hawkish ECB, which will weaken that dollar and strengthen the euro, it might get a few more legs. But we need to close where we are now. As I said, the platinum price, you pointed out, sitting a couple of bucks, just under 1,000. Palladium is at 1,020, so that's certainly good news, and the gold price continues to run. Put all of those in the pot, and hopefully we get a little bit of a better inflation print, again, leading to that weaker dollar I alluded to, and that should at least get these PGM baskets to continue their sort of bounce of the last few weeks.
Nick, before I let you go, I want a better rand. How do we get a better rand?
Mm. How do we get a better rand?
Mm.
Well, that's the hard story. I mean, that's something that they need to create conditions for. We need growth in South Africa. There's been a lot of promises. We've certainly had a lot of decent sentiment. I've seen on our side some foreign flows coming in. That all should lead to a stronger currency. They've been buying our bonds. But now we need the growth. Now we need to actually back it up with some decent numbers. And I think anything less than 2.5% GDP growth, which is a big ask after, as you said, 10 years of going nowhere, then you should see that rand coming through. But I must tell you, I think it's holding out okay. 1760. It's not as bad. We're still up against the dollar for the year, but it'd be much nicer to see it closer to 16, Jimmy. Then you can go on that overseas trip you wanted.
Can't afford it. Not at 16. We've got to wait for 14 rand, Nick. Unless you're paying, in which case I'm definitely in. Thanks so much, Nick. Nick Kunz, portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, where they pay for your holidays. No, they don't. But thanks so much, Nick, for the time and for the insights. Always a lovely conversation with you. And thanks for giving us an update on the market movements throughout the day.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.